The social program on Radio Islam International. It's Thursday morning, and joining us on the line is Maulana Ibrahim Abam. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners.
Jazakumullah khairan ma'am for joining us this morning on the program. How is Maulana doing?
Alhamdulillah, Allah, shukr Allah has been kind. Request for du'as. Allah Ta'ala keep us always well, inshallah, al-Aziz.
Ameen, ameen. Ma, the book that we are looking at, Stop Worrying, Relax and Be Happy by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali. We started last week with this book. We looked at the first chapter, which was titled Renew Your Life. And of course, this week, the next chapter, Living According to One's Daily Commitments. But perhaps, Ma, we could just do a bit of a recap and some other points from that first chapter, Renew Your Life.
Yes, Ma, I did want to do a little bit more on that particular. We spent some time on the aspect of renewing your life, and it's a natural thing. You know, we never ever become in a situation that we don't want to become better, we don't want to renew our life. We always have ambitions, and that ambitions will remain with us till the day we die. And and I don't think that it is correct that we let go of our ambitions. We always want to renew our life, make things better. You know, when I look at the Quran, there's one example that comes to mind. Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam made dua to Almighty Allah. Rabbi inni wahana al-azmu minni washta'ala al-ra'su shayba. Oh Allah, my bones have become brittle, and my beard has become white due to old age. وَحَنَ الْعَزْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمَا كُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. But oh Allah, I'm not ever despondent of asking you about my ambition. And what was his ambition? His ambition was to become a father of a child. And he made dua at a time when it apparently seemed that it was not possible for him to get children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him children, and granted him not only a child, but a Nabi of Allah who in the annals of prophethood is known to be one of the most, you know, people, the one who had the greatest amount of inclination to the world. So how does this happen? That even at that stage, he still had that ambition. So this renewal is something that we must always, you know, keep it in mind, that we want to become better. We've got ambitions. We want to do something. And as the book last week, we made mention that sometimes we link renewal, you know, such an improvement in life conditions. I want to try and become better with regard to my risk or my piety or change in my status or staying away from a bad habit. All of that, we normally surround it or link it with a particular date. So maybe New Year resolution, or for example, after Ramadan, after Hajj, right? But it is not something that must always be linked to a particular date. Rather, keep it with you all the time. That renewal should come from your inner strength and potential, by taking advantage of the chances that a person may encounter during his lifetime. Now, let me give you the example of that Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam's example. Right? Sometimes a chance encounter might come about, and you use that chance encounter as a catalyst to renew your life, to become better. Let me give you an example. So Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was what we in Gujarati or Urdu say, he was the Masaji of Hazrat Maryam, the Khalu of Hazrat Maryam. His wife was the Khala of Hazrat Maryam. Right, so he goes into her room one day and he finds, you know, out of season fruit. Ya Maryam, anna laki hadha. Oh Maryam, where do you get this fruit from? You know, the time of refrigeration, you go there and you put it in the cold storage. The fruit shops, our famous Dariwala here in Forsberg, put it in a cold room, and sometimes you get out of season fruit. That time there was no cold room, right? Although most of the time you get fresh fruit, sometimes you might get certain things that have been kept, you know. So يا مريم أنى لك هذا؟ And she said, هو من عند الله. It comes from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala gave me. إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. Allah Ta'ala grants risk without any حساب, without any accounting. Allah doesn't need to wait for a particular season to give you a particular fruit. If Allah wants, Allah Ta'ala can give you any time. هنالك, there and there, دعا زكريا ربه. زكريا عليه الصلاة والسلام made dua. ربي هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة. Now look at the link between the two. Just look at the beautiful link. Oh Allah, if you can give Hazrat Maryam fruit out of season when it is not normally the season, why can't you give me a child when it is normally beyond the time when people get children? He used that incident as a catalyst to renew his ambition. That incident happened, he made dua. Hunalika. Look at Allah Ta'ala says, there and there. When he saw this happening, his renewal and his ambition, was sparked and he made dua. So sometimes it can happen. You just take an incident, something happens, and immediately you start making that a means of your renewal. One of our ulama have always made mention, and we would like the listeners. Yeah, last week there were some very interesting thoughts that came through, and we will take some thoughts on this one. And inshallah, after the news, perhaps we will look at the next chapter. We shall look at the next chapter in terms of what to do with regard to the next chapter. And then we will tell you what type of interaction we're wanting on that particular chapter. But here, is there an incident that happened in your life that made you change your life? I know of many people who spiritually changed their life in South Africa because of famous people and spiritually motivating people who came into South Africa. How many people changed their life when Colonel Amiruddin came to South Africa? So there were so many people who changed their life. The marhum Umar Matera, Don Matera, became a Muslim when Colonel Amiruddin came here. And he even makes mention in an interview how he became a Muslim. He said, Colonel Amiruddin came and motivated me. So sometimes a person comes from abroad, makes a change in your life, right? It becomes a means of renewal. How many people renewed their life when Hazrat Sheikh Hamatul Ali came to South Africa in 1981? How many people changed their life when Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatul Ali used to constantly come to South Africa and they used to keep a relationship with him? So there are so many examples like that where people renew their life because of a catalyst. So use that as a means of, you know, renewing your life. Subhanallah. And one of the things, I'm just speaking too much now, maybe you can come in there, you can add some context, and you can just take it a step further.
No, Jazakallah khair, Ma. We really enjoyed it. And I'm sure, Ma, there'll be many, maybe not today, or maybe years from now, they'll say that Maulana Ibrahim Baum's program on Renew Your Life was the catalyst for me renewing my intentions and moving in a different direction after that.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Allah Ta'ala will make it a means of we haven't got enough Ya'amal. Maybe that will become the means of our salvation in the year after, inshallah. So I think that's an important thing. How you sometimes can use a particular incident to renew your life. And it's such a beautiful way of looking at it. It's something that came to my mind as I was reading this. And then the greatest harm that comes with regard to lack of renewal or lack of ambition comes because of our guna and sins. So now we look at it and say, no, my sins are so many. And then sometimes also this particular aspect comes to mind that, yeah, I know I make tawbah, so I cry in the last 10 nights. But then after Ramadan comes, and then we go back again to our own ways, and we don't have the same amount of ibadah that we used to do in the last 10 nights. And I always tell people, and it's something that maybe people can, you know, listen carefully. It is impossible for you to maintain the same enthusiasm of ibadat outside Ramadan that you had in Ramadan. It's not possible. There are a few great people. So there is this one incident of one of the great muhaddith scholars, Abdul Rahman ibn Nuaym. So someone was writing a book, and in that book he asked the people and great scholars, how would you live your life if you know that today is the last day of your life? So if everyone, and this is it's an interesting question. Allah Ta'ala has given me, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has been kind. I love reading. So this morning after Fajr, I was reading a book by Maulana Yusuf Lujanvi, known as Islahi Mawais. Although I sometimes do regret that the phone has taken me away from the amount I used to read in earlier years. So the phone now, the necessary, the phone, you have to reply messages, and people now put more pressure upon you because they sent you a message and you are obliged to return, and sometimes it takes more time than what we previously used to have. So, but still, so in this particular book, Maulana Yusuf Lujanvi has entitled one chapter, Nafs-e-Fehmaish. Address your nafs from time to time. Address your nafs from time to time. And there he said, sometimes you must address yourself alone, when you're alone. Address your nafs. Oh nafs, look at how Allah Ta'ala has given you the means of hidayat. And oh nafs, look at the Allah Ta'ala's favors upon you. Oh nafs, one day you're going to go in the qabr, you are going to be alone. Oh nafs, you are going to be in the darkness of the qabr. What preparations have you made for that? So he said, nafs se fehmaish karna. So part of, you know, he said from time to time, address your nafs alone. And that's what Sufis also make mention of muraqabah maut. That sometimes you must just make muraqabah of maut. Make muraqabah, you are dying, the people are taking you into the qabr, and what are you going to do in the qabr, and how are you going to be, how prepared are you for the qabr? So this is also part of Islah. This is also part of renewal. So one of the things that, so what I was saying, you know, this now one thing's come to another, and you know, I'll lose the thread. It's not possible to have, so Abdul Rahman ibn Nu'aym, when he was asked, how will you, if this was your last day of your life, what will you do? So he said that, I won't make one iota of change. Because I've been living every day for the past so many years that this is the last day of my life. So if I know that tomorrow I'm going to die, today I won't make one iota of change. Can you imagine what an inspiring reply? But otherwise, most of us, if we know tomorrow is our last day, then we are going to make a big change in our life. Right? We'll say, no, let me go and ask maafi to the people. Let me go and make namaz. Let me go and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So the point is that we're not going to be able to have the same. That's why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Inna li kulli shayin shirra," that each and everything has a peak. After the peak, you come to normal. The person who remains steadfast at the time when things come to normal, he is a person who is on the right path. I used to relate this hadith many a times every Eid, and now recently now some other topics come up. But it's so relevant to Eid, that each and everything has a peak. But you can't remain on that peak. You can't remain doing ibadat in a normal night that you normally do in 27th night. You're not going to be able to do it, right? But after the peak days, you have i'tidal. To a certain degree, you keep to the basic. At least that much, I won't go down to that. I won't go down. I won't go lesser than that. So the person who remains steadfast upon basic essentials, not at the time of the peak, but the time of normality, he is a person who is upon the right path. So one of the things that always keep us, that after Ramzan I know more, but you have to just remain on certain essentials. So there is no compromise on five times daily salah. There is no compromise on staying away from haram, etc. So now the thing comes that, what about my sometimes, you know, the guna? I mean, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made mention, because each and everyone has got kullu bani adama khata'un, each and every human being is a sinner. Wa khairu khata'ina tawabun, the best of sinners are those who repent. So we have to keep this in mind, that we are going to sin. We are human beings, which Allah Ta'ala has created in such a way. Allah hasn't created us as angels. Darde dil ke waaste paida kiya insaan ko, aur na taat ke liye kuch kam na te kurubia. Allah Ta'ala has created human beings to break the heart, Otherwise, if it was only to make ibadat, then the angels were doing that before Allah Ta'ala created human beings. Huh? Why did Allah Ta'ala create human beings then? Huh? If Allah Ta'ala only wanted itaat, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala would have sufficed with the angels. But Allah Ta'ala created human beings. In Sahih Muslim, there's a hadith, and people mustn't misunderstand this hadith. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's a hadith al-Qudsi. O Ibn Adam, if you don't commit guna and sins and don't ask Allah for forgiveness, if perchance you become like the angels, then Allah will create another human beings who will make guna and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. If you don't commit guna and ask Allah for forgiveness, then Allah will create another group of people who will make guna and ask Allah for forgiveness. That means, I mean, it's not difficult to understand from the religious perspective. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is forgiving and Allah is merciful. Now, if human beings don't make guna and ask Allah for forgiveness, who is Allah Ta'ala going to manifest that Ghafoor Rahim to? Who is Allah Ta'ala going to forgive? If you don't make guna and sins, then who is Allah Ta'ala going to forgive? So Allah Ta'ala needs to manifest His forgiveness. So who is He going to manifest His forgiveness to? If you don't make an effort. So it's such an important thing that we have to keep this at the back of our mind. So, and one of the things that I always say, and this is something that, you know, Mawlana gives us the greatest amount of motivation. You know, I heard this from ulama. They say, you know, it's guna and sin is like making your clothes dirty. Right? So now, when a person makes his clothes dirty, he doesn't say that my clothes are dirty, now what must I do? What must I do? My clothes are dirty, I'm going to throw the clothes away. What do? He sends it now, someone is going to come and clean it, the domestic is going to clean it and make it, and I'm going to wear it again next week. Or, for example, you send it to the laundry. Or another beautiful example, now the rain is coming, and the rain is coming, and you're driving, and you say the rain is coming, how must I clear this rain? How am I going to be able to drive? You put the wiper on, the rain comes, the wiper wipes it away. The rain comes, the wiper wipes it away. The rain comes, the wiper wipes it away. That's our tawbah. We make guna, we ask for forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala wipes it away. You make guna, you ask Allah Ta'ala like the wiper, you wipe it away again. That's how it's going to continue. Make dua that we continue like this till the day we die. Because there's never going to be a situation that you say that now I'm khalas. I don't need the wiper of Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Now I've reached perfection. Now I'm not going to commit guna. It doesn't happen that way. So renewal, this must be the motivation for renewal.
Yes, and there's so many opportunities for a believer, like is mentioned in the Quran, in the Hadith as well, that no matter how many times a person, or whatever sin a person commits, but if you supplicate and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope for forgiveness, then most certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins, even if it's as much as the foam in the ocean or that between the heavens and the earth, then to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. So there are so many opportunities for us to renew our intentions, to renew our lives, to live a better life than what we have been living. Many opportunities for us to do so, Mawlana.
Definitely, there's enough opportunities for us to renew ourselves, and we should be able to take advantage of that.
It's 9:30 on the social program. We're going to go straight into our half-hourly headlines. Akhil Mia steps into studio for that. And then Abrik, on the other side of that, we will continue with this program. 25 minutes to 10. This is the social program on Radio Islam International, and we are discussing the book Stop Worrying, Relax and Be Happy by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali. The first chapter titled Renew Your Life, and then the second chapter Living According to One's Daily Commitments. Ma, just on the topic that Ma was discussing earlier, there is one or two comments that have come through. And one says that Subhanallah, speak to your nafs. This is something that we need to do, and it's a really good point that Ma has raised there. And there's a question as well, Mawlana, just on that about the nafs, saying that of late I've had this voice in my head that gets me distracted in my salah and also whilst I'm reading Quran. Is this my nafs, and or how do I remove this?
Well, there is no doubt whatsoever that it is, firstly, it is natural that a person is going to get some form of distraction. Shaitan, there's a special shaitan known as khinzab that creates confusion in our salat and in our wudu, etc. So sometimes it happens. Our ulama have told us that we need courage of our conviction to continue. If it happens, don't get perturbed. It will happen. And sometimes it happens. My ustad, Hazrat Muhammad Badiu Zaman Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, used to tell us, it is a person, you know, shaitan, it's when a person sleeps, you know, shaitan doesn't like when a person is concentrating on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's going to do his utmost to try and distract you. So the fact that you get distraction is in fact a tribute to you, because shaitan is not happy. So what you need to do is don't get perturbed. Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah Ali used to say that for you to concentrate is compulsory. For your concentration to remain is not compulsory. Sometimes you try to concentrate and then all of a sudden your concentration goes away. So when it goes away, if it goes away on its own, now you're trying to concentrate and, you know, despite you wanting it, you get distracted, don't get perturbed. The wrong thing is after you come to realize, you continue thinking about it. So you start thinking about something, and then you realize you're in salat, and then now all of a sudden, you say, hey, that thing is interesting. I'm enjoying that whole particular train of thought, and you continue with it. That's wrong. But if you, for example, concentrating, and then all of a sudden it goes without you, without your action, then the moment you remember, come back again, and then, inshallah, nothing will happen. So the fact that you get distracted is a tribute to that shaitan doesn't like what you are doing.
And the other comment that has come through, just on renewing your life and looking at life with a positive outlook, it says that one of the catalyst, one of the things that brought me to change my life was listening to all of the ulama and how they mentioned that Allah forgives us if you ask for forgiveness. But if you listen to people around you, you won't change. There will always be people around you who will judge, who will keep reminding you about your sin and try to be negative. Positivity and belief in yourself, this is what brings about change.
Just repeat that, Moana. I just seem to miss that one.
So, Moana, they're saying that from listening to the different ulama, they learned that Allah forgives you if you ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
If we listen to people around us, it will be very difficult to change, because people around us always judge, they always remind you of your sin, and they always try to be negative. So positivity and belief in yourself, this is what will bring about change.
Don't ever worry. There's a kitab written by Moana Kamaru Zaman. He's written and he has translated and he has commentated on a kitab of his sheikh, I think it's Mawa Siullah Rahmatullah Ali. It is Itirafi Dhunub, Itirafi Qusur. Speak about the confession of your sins in front of Allah Ta'ala. Nowadays, I find it very amazing. People say people must make Toba, and then they say you must come make Toba in front of us, then we will announce your forgiveness. That confession of sins is a Christian concept, not a Muslim concept. I don't know where they're coming with it. You must make it in front of them. We make a Toba in front of Allah Ta'ala. We don't make a Toba in front of other people. If there is something that you need to make Toba, you go in front of Allah Ta'ala. You don't go in front of this self-appointed custodians and self-appointed pious people who feel they must come making the Toba in front of them. What nonsense. Mm-hmm. Anyway, one of the... There is narrated hadith of Sahih Muslim, right? A Sahih hadith. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, when a person says about another person, Allah won't forgive you. When a person says about another person, Allah won't forgive you, then Allah's rahmat and mercy gets in Josh, comes to the fore. And Allah Ta'ala says, who is there who has made a decision on my behalf that I won't forgive that person? I hereby take an oath by my greatness that I have forgiven that person. And the person who made the claim that I won't forgive that person, I will throw him in Jahannam. That's a hadith in Sahih Muslim. So don't ever listen to people who say Allah won't forgive you. Because Allah Ta'ala is waiting for us to ask for forgiveness. And that is the catalyst and one of the motivations to create, to become, and to renew your life.
Hmm. 20 minutes to 10, the social program here on Radio Islam International. Continue to send through your messages on 072-786-1548. Our lines are also open on 011-854-1548. Why, you can continue.
Yes, Ma, this is the thing. We know Allah Ta'ala is ever forgiving to anyone who repents, has iman, act rightly, and then is guided. So when we talk about renewal, we always look. Allah is more pleased with the repentance of His servant than any one of you is pleased when finding a camel which he has lost in the desert. Now this hadith has been explained in certain books of hadith in a more detailed form. And the detailed form is so amazing. And more or less what I remember with regard to it is like this. A person loses his camel in the desert. Now if you lose your camel in the desert, it's like finish. You are gone. Like, you know, there's no chance of your survival, because apparent chance of survival, Allah Ta'ala wants to take you as a miracle and take you and transport you to a place where there's water, is a different matter. But as far as Asbab is concerned, it's not going to happen. So a person loses his camel and he looks for his camel and he can't find his camel, and then he goes to sleep. In his mind, I'm gone now. It's finished. I'm going to die now. Right? I'm going to die now, and I'm sleeping now. Like, this is now the last sleep of my life. And then all of a sudden he gets up and he sees his camel in front of him. Huh? He sees his camel in front of him. And then out of extreme happiness, he is so happy that he says, Oh Allah, you are my servant and I'm your Lord. Right? Now, out of extreme happiness, he makes a statement which is wrong. But it is extreme happiness. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah Ta'ala becomes more happier with a person's tawbah than the example of that person who loses his camel and now he's resigned himself to death and all of a sudden he finds his camel. Allah becomes more happy. So this hadith, which is in Bukhari, Allah is more pleased with the repentance of his servant than any one of you is pleased when finding a camel which is lost in the desert. I think in Abu Dawud Sharif or in other books of hadith, this is the explanation goes with a little bit more detail, and this is the detail. Are you not amazed with this merciful statement of Allah? Do you not see any delight greater than this? Even the most noble people rarely encounter anyone so eager to meet them with such affection and desire. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so happy to meet with the one, even if he's a gunagar, as long as he turns towards Almighty. So what about a sinner who has transgressed against himself or another? If he should find such a welcome to cover up his path, then that security would relieve him, so he would be grateful. Allah is more kind and beneficent to people and more delighted over their return to him in repentance and in renewal, in changing their life, than they could ever believe. Never ever feel that my guna is a barrier to my turning towards Almighty Allah in renewal. Ali radiallahu ta'ala saw a person who was despondent. Why are you despondent? I am despondent because of I committed a guna. Ali radiallahu ta'ala told him, your despondency is worse than the guna that you committed. It is natural that this return should be a complete transition from one lifestyle to another, like the coming of dawn. So when we say we're going to renew, then that renewal does not mean introducing a few deeds here and there, or intentions amidst several reprehensible habits or bad morals. This mixture will not enable an individual to establish a good, praiseworthy future. So when you're talking about a renewal, then the renewal also, Allah has made all the means of renewal. Like, for example, there's also a hadith that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talking about renewal, that Allah will renew the deen with every 100 years by a mujaddid, a person who will revive the deen. And ulama have always spoken about different revivers. So it is unanimously accepted that the reviver of the first century was Umar bin Abdulaziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, after the time of the Sahaba. Right? So, you know, every 100 years, Allah Ta'ala creates a reviver, you know, in the form of an individual or in the form of an institution. So Allah Ta'ala creates a reviver to renew our deen. So renewal is something that is part and parcel of our deen. Right? But it's important that when we talk about this renewal, then this renewal must be a real change. So Allah gives us all the necessary means of renewal. Allah Ta'ala is forgiving. Allah is waiting for your forgiveness. Allah is waiting for you to change. Allah Ta'ala is wanting to embrace you despite how you are. And the example ulama give is like, for example, a baby who has soiled itself. So now when a baby soils itself, the mother becomes perturbed. But the mother doesn't throw the baby away because it is soiled. So Allah Ta'ala is more merciful to you than what the mother is to the baby. The mother will clean the baby, will change the baby's nappies, and will put Vaseline, and will put baby powder. And after putting baby powder, then the mother will hug the child. So that's how Allah Ta'ala will deal with us with regard to our type of soiling ourselves by sins. So we need to clean ourselves, then Allah Ta'ala will embrace us back again. But it is not a casual return that an individual undertakes just to return to his or her chaotic life. It is a successful return and renewal that Allah is pleased with. It is a victory of a human being over his weakness and his laziness. He's setting himself free from the chains of his own desire, settling himself down to a new phase of iman, beneficence, maturity, and right guidance. Allah Ta'ala is ever forgiving to anyone who repents. Inna alladhina amanu wal ladhina hajaru wa jahadu fi sabilillah. Those who have iman, and they migrate from their gunas. Ulaika yarjuna. Such are the people who are supposed to have hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. It is a life that has been renewed after a decay. It's a decisive move which changes the characteristic of the self. The way farm, land, change after receiving plenty of water and fertilizer. The farmland has become completely laden with dust, and there doesn't seem to be any chance of any vegetation growing. And then all of a sudden is a time for rain, and the farmer puts a fertilizer, and then it starts raining. And all of a sudden, that particular farmland that was completely barren, didn't seem to grow anything, all of a sudden it becomes worthy of growing. That's the way a person renews his life. He waits for Allah's mercy, and he himself then starts doing things that are of goodness.
Ma, a few messages that have come through. I'll just go through one or two of them. Speaking on renewing your life, Mulana, and that, of course, there's so many aspects that we can touch on this topic, renewing your life. And this comment here specifically speaks between the relationship between the husband and the wife, that in their relationship as well, they can forgive each other, they can renew that relationship, and take into consideration that Allah is all forgiving, and we should also try to forgive our spouses and not hold these grudges or mistakes that they have committed.
Well, even our worldly relationships needs constant revival. That's the reality. Just as we need it, our the stuff also needs it. Our relationships between our spouses, you need it from time to time. Go and take out. You know, I was reading when I went now to Karachi in January. So I went to Darul Uloom Karachi, and I told him, give me 1 whole year's Al-Balagh. So Al-Balagh is the monthly journal that comes out of Darul Uloom. So I was going through it, and some very interesting articles. And one article made mention of Hazrat Mufti Rafi Osmani. So it was written by Maulana Abbad Uthmani. Maulana Abbad Uthmani is the son of Maulana Mahmud Ashraf Uthmani, who is the grand nephew of Mufti Rafi Saab. So he says, my grand uncle used to love the family so much, all the nephews, the nieces, the grandchildren, that on when it was a holiday, he used to give us money. He used to give us money, and he said, today you take your family out for a meal in the restaurants in the city. He said, go out and go and take your family out to go and have meals in the city. And he used to pay for it. And he said that today you must go there, take the children to the playground, go and have a meal outside, And when they used to come back, he used to wait for them. And he used to ask them, how was your people's outing? How was your outing? And he used to tell the nephews and the nieces and the grandchildren, do that from time to time, because it creates a renewal and goodness in your relationship. Now, this is the Grand Mufti of Pakistan. Nowadays, we got these, you know, these new muftis who become so khushk that for them, everything is haram. So even for them, going out with their wife outside for a reserved meal will be haram. So sometimes you need all of these things. I mean, this is a Grand Mufti of Pakistan who used to pay his nephews and nieces and his grandchildren, take this money and go for an outing. So, you know, our relationship also need this type of relationships building exercises from time to time.
That's true.
So, I'm speaking too much today, but anyway, I'll
know. No, Mahmoud, it's just
flowing today. I don't know why. All the thoughts are just, sometimes all of a sudden, all the thoughts just start coming. So, when you talk about a renewal, the renewal should be genuine. But Allah has made the means of renewal.
That every day there's opportunities, even at your relationship between spouses, wherever it is, there is an opportunity for you to renew that relationship, to renew your life. Let's not wait for one particular moment or an occasion or when circumstances change, but rather every day let's make an intention to be better. Let's make an intention to fulfill those tasks or that goals that we've set out to fulfill, Malana.
Yes, definitely. And so I said the renewal must be because Allah Ta'ala has given us. Look at the Quran. The renewal of life does not mean introducing a few good deeds or intention amidst several reprehensible habits or bad morals. This mixture will not enable an individual to establish a good, praiseworthy future. Allah has described some of those who are banned from His grace. Have you not seen those who turn away from Allah Ta'ala and give little? فَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى وَعَاتَى قَلِيلًا وَأَكْدَى. Those who turn away from Almighty Allah and give Allah Ta'ala very little in terms of their time, in terms of their resources. And when they give grudgingly. Surah An-Najm, verse 33-34. It is also said about those who try to disprove the book of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ الشَّاعِرِ. This is not the word of a poet. قَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Very little iman do you have. No, it is the word of a fool. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ قَاهِنِ. It is not the word of a fortune teller. What little heed you pay? تَنْزِيلُ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It is revelation from Allah Ta'ala. Take it seriously and renew your life. Sometimes the mind of the bad people experience a little awakening. Then they return to their lethargy. So the Ramadan come, they become a little bit renewed, and then they return to their lethargy. Yet it cannot be considered as right guidance, since right guidance is the last phase of sincere repentance. So you have to continue the renewal all the time and have a situation of awareness and with regard to it.
Ma, just on that point that Ma mentioned earlier, there's a message that has come through that point of a person saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't forgive you. This really emphasizes the point why we should not disclose our sins unnecessarily to other people, but rather at all times turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our solution.
Definitely. Being distant from Allah Ta'ala will only cause bitterness and torment in our lives. If you cannot, as you know, during the course of our centenary of the Jamiyat, there was the first thing that we had a four-prong ideal, and one of the things was uncompromising obedience to Allah. You must strive towards obedience to Allah Ta'ala. And one of the things that we said in that particular bayan that we had prepared was, you cannot achieve happiness by disobeying the creator of happiness. And you cannot achieve tranquility and joy by disobeying the one who has created joy. So being distant from Allah will only cause bitterness. All the faculties of power and intelligence, beauty and knowledge turn into misfortune and calamity when they are deprived of the blessing of Allah. For this reason, He warns people against they being estranged or distracted from Him. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ. Do not be like those who forget Allah. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. And in doing so, when they forget Allah, they forget their own benefit. They forget their own self. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Such are the people who are transgressors.
Subhanallah. And I see that the author ends off the chapter here with making mention of Sayyidul Istighfar, something that we should do every day.
Yes, so you see, sometimes you may be subject to an incident while walking. You may be surprised by a speeding car that threatens your life, and Allah Ta'ala saved you. So you could find yourself running for your life. But Allah wants His servant to know that they are likely to be exposed to such life-threatening incidents. So He advises them to seek safety by fleeing towards Him. So, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Flee to Allah. إِنِّي لَكُمْ مِنْهُ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. I bring you a clear warning from Him. وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٌ. Do not become and set up allegiances besides with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bring you a clear warning from Allah ta'ala. This is a return that requires that human being should renew his life, reorganize it, renew it, proceeding with a better relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making a pledge with this dua. Oh Allah, you are my Lord and there is no God but you. أنا عبدك وأنا على عادك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر صنعته. The سيد الاستغفار. You created me and I'm your servant. I'm bound by my pledge to you and your promise to my ability. I seek refuge in you against all the evil deeds I have committed. Forgive me, for none can forgive the sins but you. خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على وعدك وأنا على عهدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبو لك بذنبي وأبو فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. So he concludes the chapter with Sayyidul Istighfar, which as people know, it's a very powerful istighfar in which Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has referred to it as Sayyidul Istighfar, the king of all istighfars.
Wow, the time has moved by so quickly that we've come to the end of the program this morning. And we are supposed to discuss the next chapter, but inshallah, we will discuss that next week.
You know, I thought I would have spent 10 minutes on recapping. And I don't know, today was one of those days that for some reason that just the words were just flowing. I don't know, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala always keep it like that. And inshallah, Al-Aziz.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, ma'am, for joining us and to the listeners at the podcast. Will be available a little later. You can just check our social media pages and so on for that podcast. And Jazakallah khair, ma. We'll speak tomorrow next week.
Inshallah, Al-Aziz. Inshallah, Al-Aziz.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.